The Music and Wisdom of Carolyn McDade. Who is this Carolyn McDade? Known and loved by many UU churches simply as the author of the song Spirit of Life, now 90, McDade has given her life to what she calls the movement. By that, she certainly means the feminist movement that dramatically changed what was possible for women since she was a girl. But she also means a chain of linked politically progressive causes. She has actively opposed wars, South African apartheid, U.S. foreign policy in Central America, and nuclear power. Much of her work has focused on saving the environment in her never-ending quest to leave this world a better place than when she found it. Though the UUs would like to claim her as their own, no church really can. She says she writes love songs to social causes and calls herself simply a woman of faith seeking with others to touch what matters. Touched others she has. She's written hundreds of songs and released over 15 CDs, working with numerous women's choruses throughout the US and Canada. I first met her at a sacred emerging gathering held in Simi Valley at the United Church of Christ once a year. I joined that chorus in 2008, when they were already in their ninth year of singing together. And I sang with Carolyn and her devoted followers until ill health and COVID concluded in-person gatherings. So how and why did this soft-spoken grandmother of eight become so inspired to inspire others to work alongside her for peace and justice and loving community? I mean, we appreciate all she's done, of course, but one has to wonder, how did she get here? She was born in Louisiana in 1935. Her father worked with farmers for the USDA, and her mother was a teacher and a homemaker. She had one sister. She grew up Southern Baptist, moving from one small rural town to another as her father's work demanded. She says of herself, shy and uninclined to sports, she turned to her piano and sister for friendship. Carolyn wrote, many years ago, when I was young and fresh with life, I began to sing. I did not come from a singing family, yet I remember the day the piano was rolled into our home. Sitting alone on that bench with my exploratory jaunts into sound, I discovered a space that opened spontaneously to my life, where I did not have to announce or even know what would happen. It was a place and a time of deep washing, a gentle though passionate rubbing of my being on the rocks of a river that soaked and embraced me, then sometime later rowed me back in its strong current to my place on that piano bench, to a room with walls and a life that ticked with regularity and expectation. I know now that my childhood singing was prayer. Carolyn was just six when the United States entered World War II, and she recalled that the men were gone, the women were doing everything on the home front, and no one was shielding the children from the raw horror of every newsreel and war movie. I never forgot Hiroshima and Nagasaki, she said. No God I had learned about would ever want or allow such behavior, such suffering, such brutality. And social activism? Well, in the South, the close exposure to one another of black people and white people, of rich and poor, gave me immediate and personal experience of the severity and cruelty of racism and economic injustice and how they intersected. But this proximity also gave us the graced moments when the spirit broke through the human structures and we saw ourselves in one another. The understanding of separation, not as gain, but as loss, loss of relationship, human resource, and soul seeded my future work for racial and economic justice. Now, reaching adulthood, she trained as a teacher and followed the script for most young women of her generation, married, had three daughters, and moved with her husband, Jim, to Austin, Texas, for his work. This was the 60s, the time of the Freedom Riders. A friend handed her a brochure from the First UU Church of Austin advertising a march. "Our churches were silent," she recalled. Well, her church was. Yet if I took the theology of my childhood seriously, I had to be active. So she marched with the UUs in her first demonstration from the state capitol to the Air Force Base. In the early 70s, when husband Jim got a new job in Boston, they relocated to Boston and joined the Arlington Street Church, and they hosted singing at their house on the weekends. When Jim was out of work with a bad back, Carolyn got a job at the church to make ends meet as what else? A secretary. One day, a student minister asked Carolyn to gather together music for a woman's service. Well, Carolyn went looking for music in the hymnal written by women and was appalled to find so little. So late one night, she sat down at her piano and sang what she would want to say to her three daughters asleep upstairs. It was the first time she had written a song born out of her own experience, and it was a searing recognition of what she was meant to do. She quickly immersed herself in the groups of women activists rising up in Boston and across the country. Her consciousness got raised. She wrote Song of Hands. "I am a woman. I've come through the ages bearing water and bearing the babe. Little I've owned, not even my body. I've lived my whole life by laws I've not made. These are my hands now. They'll answer no master, tyrants who rose and my liberties fell. I'll touch this world with a woman's fierce passion, dismantling the walls of their five-sided hell. These are the hands kneading rage into justice. These are the hands taking back stolen lands. These are the hands of proud women rising. This is my story, and these are my hands." Amen. By 1980, McDade had become a leader in the movement to oppose U.S. policies in Central America, particularly Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Guatemala. The UU Community Church of Boston invited her to chair its sanctuary committee, challenging U.S. government policies by offering illegal shelter to political refugees. She traveled to Nicaragua and helped clear stones from lands the revolutionary Sandinista government had given peasants, who were under constant threat of attack by the U.S.-backed Contras. She traveled around the United States on speaking tours and moving with refugees among safe houses and churches. Her life was intense, with demonstrations, arrests, violence, infiltration, and endless meetings. She wrote, "I am enraged." So what happened next? Yeah, that's better. Her husband left her. Yes, and suddenly she had to figure out how to support her family. She first found work as a crew chief picking apples, and later as an administrator at Boston University. But in 1983, Carolyn and her sister, Chris Laughlin, who had become a Dominican nun in Kentucky, moved in together and founded Women's Center at the Crystal Spring Retreat Center, which was a former apple orchard that had been bequeathed to the Catholic Sisters in Plainsville, Massachusetts. For 8 years, McDade and Laughlin lived and worked on little money, organizing retreats and programs for fellow activists on women's spirituality, politics, and art. Singing together was always a part of any event. You've heard us singing her songs, but let us enjoy now a recording of McDade herself singing, "I Am Making Myself a Promise." And at the end, let's sing along with her. It's a lovely song. But.
I am making myself a promise. I am making myself a bond that my home, it will be free again. That my home, it will be clean again. That my home, it will be home again. And I will be at home. I am making myself a promise. I am making myself a bond that my home it will be free again. That my home it will be clean again. That my home it will be home again. And I was a stranger wherever I went, and I wondered what was wrong with me. I was a stranger to myself. I was a stranger to my body, 'cause it was never truly mine. Once I learned to claim my body, I claim my place, and then I find I have a right to be here. I have a right to love this earth. Here I dare to take a stand, spread the healing hand to hand. To love ourselves is to
unfortunately, as all major newspapers loved to pronounce in 1991, feminism was dead. Grant money dried up, and the girls were forced to close their doors. Carolyn found a cottage she could rent cheaply for the winter on Cape Cod National Seashore, a couple hours away, not knowing how she'd support herself or where she'd go when summer came. Then calls started coming in from Canadian women's groups asking for programs. For many years now, that work has paid her bills in Canada. Okay, now, Carolyn's the first to say her songs are not for everybody. Her music is grounded in the women's struggle for equality, and anyone who has not experienced that struggle might not find her music so compelling. Younger generations of women who grew up with Title IX believe they can be doctors and lawyers if they want to be. I did not, observed Nancy Richardson, the retired associate dean for ministry at Harvard Divinity School, who first met McDade when Carolyn volunteered to hold a benefit concert to raise money for Richardson's affirmative action lawsuit against Boston University in 1981. The whole push that came from the women's movement, access, equality, has enabled younger women to experience those things as normal rather than as a special achievement, she continued. Yes. Well, I am old enough to remember my mother fighting on my behalf to get her daughters access to family planning, to legalize abortion, to end educational and job discrimination against women. Only now I'm old enough to witness the rise of the popularity of the trad wife and to see how easily the right of self-determination we took for granted over the last 50 years can be and has been taken away. Now, Carolyn said in her own time, singing our lives and living our song, we thought the world would change quickly. Instead, the forces arrayed against us entrenched and bore down. But we found hope, sustenance, inspiration, tenacity, and clarity in singing together. We bore witness and continue to bear witness to our time through song. I only hope we can engender beyond us the act of singing together as a profound power and heritage, singing as an authentic community. And I think if I saw Carolyn today, I could tell her that is happening. I go every year, twice a year, to Song Village, filled with the newer generations of singers, songwriters, social activists, to learn the songs to sing at those protests we all want to go to, or not. Carolyn said, rest assured that those of us who do remember how it used to be are still here, still passionately at work on those same social environmental issues, but in ways almost invisible to popular media and mainstream political spheres. Carolyn says, many of us are beginning to create the alternative we'd like to see, rather than hammering at the doors of a system and asking it to change. It may look like things are quieter, but the activists I've worked with have all moved deeper. They've not given up. And neither shall we. Now we have a choice to make. We can retreat behind our doors and drown out the world's cacophony with a little TV. I like to do that. Or we can go with our song to places of struggle, stand on the threshold of change, and feel that here is where real life, a life of deep meaning and purpose, a generative life, a transformative life, is to be found. I give you the Serpent Song. And please, we'll put the words up. And when you feel it, please join us. Janice. Thank you. that reek of impossibility. The serpent of life calls. She crawls upon the swollen stones, crawls upon the swollen stones, crawls upon the swollen stones, and loosens her only garment. In the places that reek of impossibility, the serpent of life calls. She crawls upon the swollen stone, crawls upon the swollen stone, crawls upon the swollen stone, and loosens her own. While I know many of us are geared up and ready to fight the good fight, frankly, some of us are a little tired, could use a little break and need a way to replenish that well from which our commitment to the work of living springs. When she needed more energy, Carolyn turned to the earth because she and the earth are one, as we all are. And we can tune in as she tunes in to draw from that source ever present all around us for grounding, refreshment, to fire and lift us up, to fill us with the power of this boundless universe. Because we know that when we unite, nothing is too much. Nothing is impossible. And so when Carolyn felt depleted, she would sing her song of sorrow and healing, and it goes like this.
Deep recesses, spirit of the land.
Thank you. Love is our way, truth is our path, justice, we walk in thy shoes. What more is there to say? Everyone deserves the right to work to fulfill what they believe is their purpose. And the protection of Earth's beauty, vitality, and diversity is a sacred trust. A sacred trust that has been handed now to this generation. I say, let us honor that trust and work together to make our homes free and clean and whole again. If we do that, as we do that, we shall surely be at home.